The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'll come a little closer to you guys this week. Well, there's a mountain in Glacier National Park called Rising Wolf, and it's this gorgeous yellowish peak in the Two Medicine area, just up, you can see it from the Two Medicine campground. And when I was working in Glacier National Park, we decided to hike this peak. Except there's no trail going up Rising Wolf Mountain. You have to work your way up somehow. Figure out, follow a drainage, bushwhack, whatever. And so it took the group that I was a part of the greater part of a day to bushwhack and get up on the ridge so that we could get to the top of Rising Wolf. And it was a stunning view of the whole southeastern edge of the park. And then somebody said, "Hey, look over there. Look at that big, dark cloud that's coming to us." And that dark cloud actually had some lightning bolts that was coming off. And so we said, "Wow, we probably shouldn't be on top of a 9,000-foot peak at the moment. We have to get down." And so we started to run down the side of the mountain. And one of the young women in our group named Leanne was so frightened because the wind started to come up. There was some lightning strikes that were really close by. And she just froze. It was like she was paralyzed. And so, in fact, we literally almost had to pull her off the mountain because we had to get off of the peak. And suddenly I noticed, though, it was like when we got to the bottom bushes where we took cover, it's like a switch flipped. And then she began to finally just run with us. And we dove into the bushes where we gained cover from the wind and rain. And she later thanked us for pulling her down the mountain. She said, "You know, it was only when I saw those bushes that I finally said, okay, things are going to be okay. And I was able to get out of my paralysis and start moving again." And you know, as much as I was frustrated by Leanne at the time, I can see myself in Leanne's actions a little bit. Maybe you can too. Our world is so chaotic, so confusing, so scary at times that we don't know sometimes, I think, what to do. Maybe we become paralyzed. And you know, one of the interesting things that many of our Gospels do is they prove a point, or they have a focus by linking kind of two stories together. as pairs. And the Gospel of Luke is actually the most famous of doing this, but the Gospel of Matthew does this as well. And so this story that we have of Jesus on the water actually has a twin story. Anybody know what that twin story might be? I'll give you a little clue. We read it last week. It's out of Matthew 8. It's the story of Jesus calming the seas and the wind in the boat. In fact, the whole structure, the whole sentence structure in Greek on what Jesus says is almost exactly identical. Except for one thing. One big difference. Jesus is not with the disciples in this story. The disciples are on their own. So this chaos, this storm, this wind, these waves are all happening around them, battering the boat, and they are alone. I know I might be paralyzed in some ways if I were in that situation. Now, our translation here says early in the morning on when Jesus appears to them, but actually in the Greek, it becomes much more specific. In the Greek, it says it's during the fourth watch. Maybe some of you have read some other translations that includes that. The fourth watch, which means that it is between 3 and 6 a.m. when Jesus comes walking on water. So not only do these disciples think that they are alone in the boat in this chaos, but they probably can't see Jesus walking towards them because it's dark. So you can imagine their surprise and fear when all of a sudden they realize that there is this figure in the dark out there coming towards them. And immediately Jesus gives what scholars call a theophany or a link to the God of Israel. It's translated in English in our version that says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." But in Greek, it is just two words. Ego eimi. Ego eimi. I am. This is God's exact response to Moses, actually, at the burning bush. I am. Take heart. And this is a powerful moment, I think, in the story because it shows both us and the disciples that even in the midst of unthinkable darkness and chaos, God is not only there, but seeks to come closer to us. This, in several ways, releases Peter from paralysis, it seems. And Peter does something very risky and amazing. He says, "Okay, I'm going to come closer." And he gets out of the boat. He gets out of the boat. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "Peter had to leave the ship and risk his life on the sea in order to learn both his own weakness and the almighty power of his Lord. If Peter had not taken that risk, he would never have learned the meaning of faith. Unless a definitive step is demanded, the call vanishes in thin air, and if people imagine that they can follow Jesus without taking this step, they are deluding themselves like fanatics." In other words, we learn the meaning of faith when we are freed by the promise of God to get out of the boat. Living a life of faith is getting out of the boat. I just came back, as I said before, from Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp this week, and it was an incredible week to get to know the kids and the youth, as well as journey with them in topics of faith. And one of my favorite responsibilities about being a camp pastor is you get to do these sessions called Pastor Ponderings. And they're sessions where you sit down in the hot seat and you take questions from different cabins of campers, ranging from what is the hardest part about being a pastor to why does the devil have horns and everything in between, depending on the age of the campers. But one of the sessions that was really impactful for me this week was doing a pastor ponderings with a junior high cabin. And the counselor had them write out all of the questions before we started so we could kind of do a boom, boom, boom and have a conversation. And so we kind of went through all kinds of different questions. And of course, you know, we only had an hour and we didn't get through all of the questions that these junior high campers had. And afterwards, the counselor handed me one of these written questions because she was a little bit concerned by it. And it was from a young woman who wrote this. She said, "What if there is nothing beyond our life on earth to look forward to? What is the purpose of me being on earth? I'm scared, and I would appreciate advice." I was really blown away by this comment, and so I sought this young lady out and had a conversation about these things with her. And she has actually come from a pretty rough childhood. She's currently living with foster parents right now. And she said to me that, you know, she struggles with trusting people in her life and trusting God. And at the end of our discussion, you know, I didn't have all the answers for her, but it was great for us to talk through some of these things that I think have been bubbling in her life for a long, long time. And I said at the end, I said, you know, I don't know if you're ever going to have all this figured out. I don't know if we all, any of us, have this all figured out, but there are people who want to walk with you in this journey. Your church, your counselors. And I am so impressed by your courage to even submit this question. And immediately her face relaxed. I could see such a change. And she began to tear up and she said, "Thank you. Thank you." Just as Jesus came to Peter in order to free him from being paralyzed, I believe Jesus also came to this young woman to free her and empower her to write this question, to put her doubts on a piece of paper, and to hand it to this pastor, to this counselor, so that she could be noticed and that she could have a conversation. He came so that this young camper could get out of the boat. God comes to us in the midst of chaos and accepts us for who we are, so we don't have to worry about that stuff. We are freed to figure out then how we can get out of the boat. We are freed from that paralysis. Our world needs people to get out of the boat in whatever form that means. Our world needs our church to have the courage to get out of the boat. And I think that our church this fall into this next year is going to get out of the boat in many different ways, from our Missoula Aging Services lunch to a subcommittee that is led by Peter Metcalf, president of this congregation, on how thinking about how we can better use our church facilities as a ministry to this community. There are a lot of things that our church can do to be freed from paralysis and to get out of the boat. Who knows where it will go? But I know this. As the writer Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, no life nor death. That is what we hold on to. That is what can free us from doing nothing. No storm can shake our inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? May you have the courage to walk on water this week. Let's all get out of the boat and proclaim Christ together. Amen.
Thank you.